As we remain standing, let us pray. Dear loving and gracious Lord God, we thank you for sending your Son Jesus to live among us as one of us. Thank you for feeding us with spiritual food, the living water of truth, and the bread of your love. We give you thanks always for the gift of faith and for your life within, creator, redeemer, and sanctifier of the people of God. Amen.
Amen.
What is so funny, Adam? I haven't even started yet. Wait till I'm about halfway through. In September, am I going to have to compete with him? Is that what's going on here? That's all right. Probably. In September, two of my sisters are coming to visit, my youngest one and my oldest one. There are six girls, so one at either end. I'm in the middle. And the last time I saw them was at my mother's, actually it was on Zoom. So this has been a long time since we've been together. And we will tell our stories. You know how you talk. We will tell our stories to each other. Some are old. Some I've forgotten. Some familiar. Some new. And there will be listening for common threads of a shared life as a family, with its pain, with its joy, and with its moments of grace. We are creatures that live by our stories. We are a storied people. We are shaped by our stories, our narratives about ourselves and the world in which we live. Our stories help us to navigate the world, to understand right and wrong, and provide meaning. There's this wonderful book I've been reading called The Good and Beautiful God, and the author writes, "Our stories, once in place, determine much of our behavior with regard to their accuracy or helplessness. Once these stories are stored in our minds, they stay largely unchallenged until we die." There are all kinds of stories or narratives that we live out. The family stories we receive from our parents, a worldview, an ethical awareness, and from them we learn who we are, why we are here, and our value as human beings. Then there are the cultural stories that we all grow up with. What is important? Who is successful? And then we have the religious narratives. Stories we hear from the pulpit, that we hear when we are read to, the classroom, the books we read, that help us understand who God is, what God wants from us, and how we are to live. Now, once we understand and find the narratives within our minds, we can measure them against Jesus' narratives. Jesus' stories or narratives are the spirit, the truth, and the life. Because Jesus is pre-existent and the eternal Son of God, no one knows God or the nature and meaning of life more than Christ. And in our gospel readings over the past couple of weeks, I think it's been 3 or 4 weeks, we've been hearing from John, we've heard the powerful narrative of who and what Jesus is and the life he offers. I am the living bread that comes down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will last forever, will live forever. Very truly, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me and I in them. Whoever eats me will live because of me. And the one who eats this bread will live forever. We know the words, we've heard them, that Jesus speaks. But do we have the life of which he speaks? What life is within you and me? It's a wonderful Episcopalian priest, Michael Marsh, who writes, Jesus isn't forgetful of what he has said. He's mindful of our hunger. He's not repeating himself. He's repeatedly calling us into life. He's trying to get our attention, to wake us up, to disturb us, to get us to look at the life we are living. He's asking us to look at our own stories and ask, does my story support the life Christ wants to create in and for me? Does my life support the life Christ wants to create in and for me? Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. That's not a question about physical or biological life. It is life with a capital L. It is beyond words, indescribable, and yet we know it when we taste it. Think about all those experiences you have had. You've had a sense of something larger than life. Not because you've done or accomplished something, but because you are connected to and part of something beyond yourself. Those moments in our life, we want them to last forever and never end. Those moments when you thought or maybe said to yourself, this moment is perfect. I never want it to end, yet just want more. And that's the life Jesus is talking about in each of the statements we've heard from John's gospel. And it makes us ask, is this the life I am living today? What is the life I need to live as a spirit-filled, growing disciple of Christ? Whose life are we claiming? Whose story are we living? At some level, we all know that kind of life is available, and we hunger for it. I think I talked last week. It's a holy hunger that asks, what am I doing with my life? We wonder, is this all there is? Is this all there will ever be? Is this as good as it gets? We are so sure there is more to life than this. What we really want to know, is there life with a capital L inside of us? It is such an important question because I believe that all of us at some point have lived less than fully alive. We go through the motions. We put our life on autopilot, and we hunger for more life. Like you, I experience holy hunger every day. Sometimes I am acutely aware of it, and other times I brush it aside for some other activity, some other task, or some other opportunity. And I think this past year has been a time of focusing on this time in history and the circumstances we find ourselves in. Yet throughout all of this, there has been glimpses of something more, of discerning what really matters and what gives us life. It seems to me that most of the time we describe our lives in terms of history and circumstance. We focus more on what we're going to do than what really matters and enlivens us. We talk about where we're from, where we live, our marital status, and with whom we live. We talk about our work, our roles, our busy schedules. We talk about what we have and what we want. We talk about our age, our health, and the struggles or difficulties of our lives. We express our religious or political beliefs and talk about the way things used to be. Come on. I think when you get over 50, you start talking about the way things used to be. The way they are. And the way they should be. And all of that may be a true and accurate description of our lives, but the question remains, what is the life within us that sustains and nourishes us. The circumstances of our lives are not unimportant. They do matter and they do make a difference. But they're not, however, the way Jesus thinks and looks at life. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or worry about your body or what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Matthew 6:25. Jesus sees our life as more than our circumstances and what's happening in and around them. He asks us in sacrificial language to eat his flesh and drink his blood. And by doing so, we are connected to something bigger than ourselves, beyond ourselves, to the larger narrative of life with a capital L in God's kingdom. Because in kingdom life, we see ourselves to be connected to each other in such a way that we begin speaking more about we, us and ours, and less about me, myself, and mine. What if we truly believed and acted on the belief that each other's life, hope, joys, needs, hurts, losses, and sorrow are as valid and as important as ours? What if we created a space, a place where everyone belonged? Not those that we just tolerated or put up with, but that they really belonged and hold a place, not just a place in the building, but a place in our heart. And that we had, what if life really isn't about you and me, but we are to be about life? Maybe that's what it means to eat and drink the bread and wine of communion. Sometimes that happens when we do that. But it happens at every dinner table, in our prayers, when we reach out in compassion to another, our acts of justice, our weeping for the pain of the world, our recognition of another human being as a child of God and a brother and sister in Christ. This is why we were created and have our being, to submerge our stories in the ongoing life of the risen Christ. And this is our inheritance as human beings, made in the image and likeness of a good and beautiful God. And that's how I want to live. Don't you? Let us pray. Lord, we pray for the life of your body, the church. Help us to see ourselves as rays from one sun, branches from a single tree, and streams flowing from one river. May we remain united to you and to each other, because you are our common source of life. And may we send out your light and your life, pouring forth your flowing streams all over the earth, drawing our inspiration and joy from you. Amen.